Father, we give you thanks for this day and we thank you for your word. And we pray right now that you would speak to us. Speak to us in the way that only you can. And so, Father, we give this time over to you. Amen. Amen. Well, how are you feeling for Christmas? We talked a little bit about that this morning, didn't we, with the children? About ways of preparing for Christmas. I wonder how much the average household spends at Christmas. I had a look this week on, apparently this was on the Bank of England website, it's all been fact checked, so. £800 a month extra the average family spends during the month of December. I wonder what so much of that would have gone on. Unsurprisingly, probably a lot on eating out, on food, on drink. Buying gifts, the amount of money that is spent, the amount of time that is spent preparing for Christmas. And as we've just sung in that song, make way for Christ the King. Are we doing that this Christmas? Making way in our hearts for Christ to rule. Making way for Him. The voice calling in the desert, make way. Make a highway ready for the coming of the King. Comfort for God's people. Christmas can be seen as a time of comfort. A time to forget everything else that's going on. Forget all of our problems. A time when we can escape reality for a little while. And then in January, it's all still there. Comfort. For God's people. I also find it a bit odd when people talk about Christmas and say it's the season of goodwill. Does that mean we can be awful to each other the rest of the year? God brings comfort. And this prophecy which is given is about comfort being bought for all time for God's people, preparing the way. Jesus coming into this world offering good news, offering a way for salvation. Bringing comfort to God's people. The book of Isaiah, written to prophesy the kingdom of Judah. Judah going through times of revival and rebellion. This is the first chapter of what's known as the second Isaiah. A real shift in mood in what Isaiah says. Including the foretelling of the coming of Jesus. Lots of detail about his life and death. It's amazing looking through all the Old Testament prophecies about the life of Jesus and how each one of them came to pass, making way for Jesus. God's people have been in exile and now they hear the promise to restore them to salvation. This will be quoted once again by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent. For the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And again, it's also found in Luke chapter 3. I wonder what the expectations would have been of the Messiah, the expectations of the coming of the Messiah, perhaps a great military ruler who would lead God's people to a great victory. In the old times, the Old Testament prophet, people probably had mixed feelings, having turned away from God, got themselves lost. Perhaps they hoped God would reveal himself to them in a different way. And yet God had a plan. God had that perfect plan. Maybe they were wondering what the coming of God was going to be like. Jesus wouldn't be what people expected. And the passage begins, comfort. Comfort my people. It's interesting because Jesus' ministry, when he was on this earth, wouldn't always have been comfortable for those who were around him. The religious leaders of the time especially, would it have been comfortable for them? He highlighted a lot of their own sin. I'm sure he wasn't always comfortable. Is following Jesus always comfortable? I've got to be honest, for me, quite often it isn't. It's quite challenging. And yet, what Jesus would do would bring comfort to God's people and a way of salvation. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The promise here that God will reunite Israel and Judah and restore them to glory. Instead of warning them of impending judgment, Isaiah brings comfort. Judah still had to experience 100 more years of trouble before 70 years of exile. Therefore, God tells Isaiah, speak tenderly to comfort them. Speak tenderly. In this world today, things are far from perfect. We see about our own nation and the things going on in the news, and that's not the worst of what's going on in this world by a long way. This world is not perfect. There's lots of things that are wrong in this world. We might say these are difficult times, and yet we have the comfort that in God's time and in God's plan, there will be salvation. It says this in the book of Revelation. There will be a day when there's no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We can think of the way in which the religious leaders behaved around Jesus, the way he responded to them, the way he exposed their sin, the way he made it clear that he disapproved, but also for those for whom his ministry brought comfort. When we're thinking about all the preparations and all the things that need to be done for Christmas, we can get ourselves so busy, can't we? We can get ourselves caught up in so many things. I love that clip that Rachel showed last Sunday morning, the Mr. Bean clip, where he starts playing with the nativity. And yes, it was funny, but it shows us quite an illustration there of how we can let all the other things get in the way of Jesus. All these other things around, all these other things that we fill our time with. We're taking time to remember Jesus, remember to put him in the center. You know, we're back to our text for the year, Psalm 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. We can fill so much of our time up with different things and we lose our focus on Jesus. He says, be still and know that I am God. When we go through difficult times, which all of us do, God is there to be our comfort. That comfort is what God wants to do for all his people. God wants to enable us to rest in him, to trust in his promises. For so many of us, this can be such a hectic time of year. We're taking those moments to be still, to remember him. And yes, as those words are spoken to God's people, they are called to make space for the Lord. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In the wilderness, the voice calls out. He has the greatest promise and the greatest comfort. That word, in the wilderness, when things are not going well, when there's trouble. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And in the wilderness, in the difficulty, we have that promise that in Jesus, a greater time awaits. And you know, Christmas for so many can be focusing on the here and now and enjoying ourselves so much during this month and celebrating, and then we get to January. And it feels like a bit of a come down, doesn't it? And yet, when we have our trust in Jesus, we look forward. We can look forward to a greater time. All of us go through hard times. All of us go through those wilderness times. A voice of one calling in the desert. The desert is a picture of life's trials and sufferings. None of us are immune to them, but our faith can help sustain us through it. Make a highway straight for the Lord. I wonder, as God's people hear that message, do we hear that message today? Make the path straight for the Lord. It challenged me when I thought about my own life and thought all the different things crowding around. How straight is the path that is made for the Lord? When we think about preparing for Christmas, how much time do we spend preparing ourselves and our hearts to receive Him? How straight is the highway for the Lord? What dominates our thoughts over Christmas? Is the highway straight for Jesus? I heard a story about somebody who went into W.H. Smith hoping to buy a Bible. And they said, oh, we've put them out the back. When they went and asked one of the members of staff, we've hidden them out in the back. I said, well, why have you done that? We put our Christmas display there, so we didn't have room for the Bible. How straight is the path for the Lord? And you know, as Jesus came into this world, that night he was born, Mary and Joseph were told, no room at the inn. There was no room. Is there room for Jesus in our hearts? Because in so much of the world today, it seems as if there's no room for Jesus. So many other things crowding in and taking over. Preparing for Christmas, preparing for Jesus, and preparing ourselves. Isn't it amazing? Black Friday, the Friday before last. Apparently the day when there's the most opportunity to make savings, the best day for Christmas shopping. You may have seen a picture on Facebook, quite a few people have shared it. There's only one Black Friday which has eternal savings. When Jesus went to the cross, the greatest savings of all. Robert spoke last week about the need to put Jesus back in the centre of Christmas, looking beyond the baby in a manger. Christmas not just being about Jesus as the baby in the manger, but looking on, looking forward. As Bill said this morning, pressing on with him. Making our hearts ready to receive Jesus. I don't know what lies ahead for you this Christmas, what preparations you might still have. Are we going to take time to stop and be still and to remember Jesus? You know, when we have guests to stay, generally we make a bit of an effort, do we? Make the house a bit nicer. I joked this morning I don't clean my house, I do. But you know, when we have a guest to stay, we put in a lot of effort. In fact, the last guest that stayed with me was my brother. And to be honest, I didn't make that much effort. I thought, well, it's not an important guest. I mean, he knows what I'm like. We're not going to tidy the house that much for him to come in. How much of an effort do we make for Jesus? Not just to come and stay at Christmas, but to dwell in our hearts forever. Make a highway straight for the Lord. What sort of effort do we make to welcome Jesus into our lives? Preparing for Jesus means making our hearts ready for Him. Making it ready for Him to stay there permanently. And I've got to be honest with myself, that means clearing out a lot of the rubbish in my life. There's a lot of things that go on in our hearts and minds which are not right. I'm sure if we're all honest, we can think of those things in ourselves. Preparing our hearts to receive Jesus. 2 Corinthians 7, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Yes, at Christmas, we rejoice and celebrate. We reflect on what it would cost for God to save us. And as we read on in the passage, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There is a promise of what would happen when Jesus came, but also a promise of his second coming. That day when the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The glory of the Lord being there for people to see. That is also what we're promised at Christmas, looking for him to come again. Can we look forward to that day, knowing there's a highway ready in our hearts to receive him? We can only imagine the sort of celebration and joy there will be on that day. For the Lord has spoken. Looking forward to something far greater. You know, for 700 years and more, people had that warning, that prophecy that Jesus would come. That's quite a long time to be able to get ready. Are we ready? Are we ready to receive him? I was challenged by one sermon a few years ago where the preacher asked the question, if we knew Jesus was returning next week, would we do anything different? And I thought to myself, yeah, there's quite a few things I'd do different. But of course, we don't know when that time is. So why am I not doing those things differently now? The time is there to be ready, being ready for Jesus. And then we can think to events like Palm Sunday, when it seemed like a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And a few days later, those same people were saying, crucify him. Jesus came into this world and people believed the Messiah would overthrow the Roman Empire. This is what they were expecting him to be. And when he wasn't like that, they turned on him. We read how Jesus would not be recognized in John chapter 1. He was in the world, and though this world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Will we receive him? Have we received him? Have we received him into our hearts to make a pathway, make a highway straight for the Lord? You see so many houses around that are decorated for Christmas. You see big inflatable Santa Claus and all sorts of lights and things outside. And you think, how much effort must have gone into that? How much effort have we made to welcome Jesus? Is there a highway straight in our hearts to welcome him? Not just at Christmas, but all year round. In Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in his love. Will Christ dwell in our hearts? Is the highway straight for him? Let's pray.